Matthew chapter 13. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word. If you'll notice, verse number 45 and 46, this entire chapter is a series of parables. And Matthew chapter number 13 and verse number 45, we have a two-verse parable, short parable. I'll read it aloud as you follow along. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for just blessing us and helping us, dear God. And Lord, what a week, Lord. I feel like I'm still riding the wave of all that you did, Lord, for us and in us. And we just want to continue that this morning, Lord. And we pray, dear God, that you'd allow this message to be an encouragement and a blessing to God's people. Lord, I'm thankful for those, dear God, that are going to follow you at the conclusion of our message and believers' baptism. Always a wonderful, sweet time at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But Lord, for the next few minutes, may we focus in on the message. And may we listen, Lord, to that still small voice, the voice of God, the voice of your Spirit, as you help us to learn the things that each of us need. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. How we doing? You got them? She got them all? Most of them? That's good enough. Here, let me see that one. Let me see that one. You can keep that one. All right, I'm up here messing around with jewelry. Was it Brother Daniel that said this week he's a guy that just doesn't care much for wearing jewelry? I would be also in that department. Although I do wear my wedding ring, I don't know what his issues are there. I think there may be something a little deeper going on there. We're just going to have to. But I've set up some marriage counseling, so we're going to see if we can help that young man a little bit. But, you know, gentlemen, through the years, me and my wife, 34 years of marriage, if you're smart, and one of the reasons you can get to 34 years of marriage is that you ought to be going to the jewelry store from time to time and buying your wife some jewelry. All right. Waiting there. I felt very alone there for a minute, man. I thought I'd at least get some amens from the ladies, something, you know. You say, well, I don't know if I believe in that stuff. I believe in adorning the bride. By the way, Jesus believes in adorning his bride, so I want to be like Jesus, amen? And so one of the things that I've purchased for Cheryl over the years is pearls. And I could not tell you whether these are real or fake. I do know that they were on sale at Walmart for $1.99, so I'm assuming they're real, you know. Come on, Walmart, one of the best jewelry stores in America right there. And I bought her over the years some strands of pearls. And some of these actually are real pearls, you know, not the ones that I purchased early in my marriage, I can tell you that. She has a necklace of a single pearl here, a couple strands of pearls, a ring with a white pearl and a black pearl. Yeah, two little diamonds. Or maybe they're that, they call the, yeah, yeah. Well, fake diamonds. But, hey, you know, they look nice. They look nice. I mean, as long as you don't show them to a jeweler, you're probably all right. And the Bible talks about pearls. What a study in the Bible to talk about pearls. And one of the things that the Bible teaches us in the book of Job, won't take you to all of the places, but Job was comparing the wisdom of God and talked about where can it be purchased. And he listed every kind of gold, silver, all of the things, and he even mentioned pearls. He said, you know what, you can't purchase the wisdom of God with any of those things. You know, Jesus, in chapter number 7 of this book, warned us not to cast our pearls before swine. And I do think that there are some things that are way too precious, you know. Somebody wants help, if they want the word of God, if they are seeking help, you know what, I'm more than glad to open up the truths of God's word and help them. But you know what, if somebody wants to treat them, the things that are precious, and want to treat them the same way a pig would treat the pearls, the Bible says, then don't cast your pearls before swine. You know what, folks? This is a precious book. It's not to be mocked at. It's not to be laughed at. It's not to be made fun of. And so we're cautioned by Jesus. In this parable concerning the kingdom of heaven, God likens the kingdom of heaven to a merchant man who's seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one, pearl of great price. Boy, I just got eat up with that thought this week. A pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Well, I did some studying, and I wanted to say, I thought to myself, what a miraculous creator we have. I mean, folks, when you begin to study the way a pearl is created in nature, you know, most precious gems are mined. They're in the earth somewhere. They're mined out of the earth. Gold is mined out of the earth. Silver is mined out of the earth. Diamonds is mined out of the earth. But you know, a pearl is very separate, and yet it's still considered to be a precious jewel, very valuable. And I began to read about this idea of the pearl and the creation of the pearl. And I wrote down seven things, seven steps as far as the way a pearl is created. We're searching, the Bible says, for pearls of great price. God says a merchant man, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. And I began to study the way that God miraculously created one of his creations that then had the ability to create something as beautiful as a pearl. And most of you know that a pearl, for the most part, comes from oysters. Not exclusively oysters, but that would be the main source of it. And most of you would know what an oyster is, okay? And then, preacher, how in the world can this little shellfish, how in the world can it produce something as beautiful as this? Well, let me tell you the process. Number one, an irritant invades the life of the oyster. An irritant invades the life of an oyster. What do you mean? Well, this irritant, such as a grain of sand, a parasite, some other foreign object, slips between one of the shells of the oyster and what's called its mantle. The mantle is a protective layer that covers the oyster's organs, so a very sensitive area in the oyster. This irritant, whether it's a grain of sand, a parasite, some other foreign object, then lodges itself inside of the oyster. Now, by the way, this isn't pleasant to the oyster. This invader is unwanted. This invader causes great pain and discomfort. This invader becomes an irritant that begins to cause the oyster great pain and discomfort, and it goes on to say it is potentially dangerous to that oyster. What do you mean? That means if nothing's done about it, some long-term harm can become as a result of that. It can cause wounds. It can cause infection. It could cause death to that oyster. And I got to thinking as I looked over this week, I mean, we have a week of celebration. And while we're having this week of celebration, guess what? I've said several times throughout this week, now, we didn't only have a week of celebration. We have a week that reminded us that, guess what? No matter what you plan, you know what? Real life still happens. And I watched several of our people this week going through the fire, and this week facing trials, and this week ending up in hospitals and having to deal with situations and having to overcome irritants that have come into their life. And I was reminded how the Bible says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." Can I just remind every single one of you that a trial is part of the Christian experience? You know what? When you get saved, there's no guarantee, and you'll never find a place in the Bible that says from that point on, everything's going to be grand and everything's going to be happy and you're never going to have a bad day and you're never going to have a setback. You know what, folks? Real life involves trials. And Peter also wrote this through inspiration. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. And by the way, that's the good news. But then the next two verses, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And I want everybody to personalize this message to your situation this morning. What is it that has come into your life that you wish wasn't there? What situation has lodged itself within the circumference of your life? What is that? Who or what is that unwanted invader? What is causing great pain and discomfort? What's making life uncomfortable? What's making creating in your life a potentially dangerous situation? Guess what? Can I say this? It comes to all of us. Say, preacher, things are going pretty well right now. Well, probably just a few months or years ago, it wasn't. And by the way, don't get too comfortable on the mountaintop, because I promise you, at the crest of every mountaintop is the beginning of another valley. And you know what? These kind of things come to everybody. But here this pearl has this irritant that invades its life. Number two, this irritant cannot be dislodged, it cannot be dissolved, or it cannot be expelled. Guess what? This oyster's just stuck with this situation. You know what? Things come into our life sometimes that, and we go to the Lord and we ask God to remove it. We ask God to change it. And I think all of us would say that there are some things that have come into our life for a short time to test us, to try us. But you know what? Through prayer and perseverance, God changes the circumstance. That irritant came in. It did its work, but then it left. But you know what? There are some things, folks, that come into our lives, and guess what? They're just going to be there. I was thinking about how to illustrate this, and when I was a young man, I'd go to the doctor, and I'd have an issue, some type of a physical issue. I didn't go to the doctor very much, but when I did, I'd go to the doctor, and I'd tell him what's wrong, and then I wanted him to fix it. And so what he would do is he'd give me some medicine, and we'd fix it. If it was, if I cut myself, he'd stitch it, you know? I mean, well, he'd fix, you go to the doctor, something's wrong. He fixes it, you go on with life, and it's over. Well, you get to a certain age where you go to the doctor and you say to them, this is my problem. I need you to fix it. And he looks at you and says, that's called old age. There is no fixing that. And I look at the doctor and I say, no, wait a minute. We've always had a relationship, and this has always been our relationship. Okay, I break my body, you fix it. That's been my relationship. Okay, so I'm coming to you like I've always come to you, and I want a pill or I want something. I want this fixed. I want it to go away. And you folks that are in your 50s and older realize that it's kind of that discouraging moment when you first go to a doctor and the news is, guess what? This is just going to be a part of your life for the rest of your life. Now, folks, listen to me. I'm not talking about just a trial that comes and goes. I'm talking about some things that God allows to come into our life. And you know what? It's going to stay there. It's probably not going to change. It's just going to be what it is. And so this irritant comes into our life. It happened that way with the Apostle Paul. He wrote this in 2 Corinthians. He said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And three different times, you know what? This has been Paul's experience. There's a trial or tribulation or a thorn that comes into my life. I go to the Lord. I ask him to remove it. Maybe he doesn't do it the first time, so I'll go back a second time. I go back the third time. But somewhere in that process, the Lord removes it. Well, guess what? This time, in this particular chapter of Paul's life, he says, sorry, I'm not taking it from you. Sorry, that's yours to carry. Sorry, that's going to be what you deal with the rest of your life. And so we notice that the creation of a pearl involves this irritant that invades the life of an oyster. Number two, this irritant cannot be dislodged, dissolved, or expelled. Number three, this irritant, if left unattended, will cause irreversible damage. If God did not create the oyster the way he did, and I'm going to explain what happens to that irritant in just a minute, but if God didn't allow the oyster to be able to deal with this irritant the way that he could, it would begin to cause internal damage to his organs that would eventually bring injury, infection, and death, and oysters would have been wiped out years ago. But let me say this, there is a creator. There is a creator. And you got to be careful, folks, because when this irritant comes into your life, if you don't respond properly to it, it also has the potential to bring great spiritual damage into your life. Hebrews chapter 12, we read, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness, watch this, unto them which are exercised thereby." So in other words, when chastisement, when an irritant comes into our lives, when a trial or a testing comes into our lives, we must make a choice to be properly exercised thereby. "Therefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Folks, listen to me. Things are going to come into your life, and you know what? You're not always going to be able to get rid of the situation. And sometimes God said, no, that's just part of your life now. And you know what? If we do not respond properly to it, then it has the potential to destroy our Christian life, to destroy our Christian life. Are you staying with me so far? We're getting to the good part. So this irritant, if left unattended, will begin to cause irreversible damage. I want to say one more thing about this oyster that's dealing with this issue. While all this is going on, there's no outward evidence of the internal problem. I mean, you can't go in down and go scuba diving and find a bunch of an oyster bed and be able to look from the outside and know which one of them is dealing with these issues. There's no outward evidence of the internal problem. The hard shell without, come on, Christians, the hard shell without hides from view the internal battle for survival that's raging within. Come on now. Sometimes when you're in your darkest places in your life and you're facing things that nobody knows about, and you know what, you go to work and somebody says, "How you doing?" And what do you say? "I'm doing great." Because that's kind of the way we handle things. I mean, the fish that swim by that oyster is unaware of the problem. The uncaring and calloused waves of the sea continue to crash around it. No other oysters could help even if they wished to. This inward intruder that's altered and now threatens the existence of the oyster is unseen by those around it. And I couldn't help but think about that lady that had an issue of blood. You know, many of the people that Jesus healed, it was outwardly evident that they had a problem. It wasn't that hard to look at a blind man and understand that he was blind. To be able to see someone with a palsied hand and see the outward evidence of that. See somebody that's sitting there lame and his legs are misconfigured and it's obvious what his problem is. I mean, the lepers, their problem was so obvious outwardly that they had to yell, "Unclean, unclean." And by seeing them, you could tell that they were afflicted with this. But many, many problems amongst God's people are not for public view. There's something that's being dealt with on the inside. And you know what? I think about that lady with the issue of blood, and nobody knew. She was just another follower of Jesus. Nobody had any reason to look at her and know that there was any problem with her.
But she was desperately trying to get to Jesus, desperately in her mind just thinking, I don't want to bother him. I'm not worth bothering him. But maybe if I just touch the hem of his garment. And you know what? Jesus knew that there was a problem, because the minute she touched the hem of his garment, you know what? She was healed. Jesus felt virtue going out of him. And you know what? He turned around and said, who touched me? The disciples were not aware of a miracle. Nobody around them was aware of a miracle except the woman whom the miracle had happened and the Savior who performed the miracle. And you know what? On an outward, listen, if you'd have passed that lady for all of the years that she was afflicted, you would have not had any outward evidence that she dealt with what she dealt with on the inside. I want to just stop and say a word about that. Can I say this, folks? Let's be kind to each other. Let's be good to people. Let's go out of our way to be an encouragement. I was at Walmart yesterday, just ran in to pick up a few groceries, and I was in the aisle where the coffee was. I mean, we were out of coffee at the Ross House. That's a crisis situation. So I had to go in there and get some coffee. And you know who walked by that I hadn't seen in many years? He's come out here and done a lot of work on the church for us, ran a local business here in town for years. But Carlos Watson came by, and he just stopped and looked at me, and he said, Jerry Ross, and I mean this, I haven't seen him in years. And he was there with his wife, and same old Carlos Watson smile. If you guys that know him and have dealt with him, he just gives you that smile. And I shook his hand. I said, how you doing? We began to do some small talk. And then before he left, he said, hey, by the way, would you be sure and pray for me? And I said, what's going on? And he said, actually, I've escaped the hospital. And I said, you've now escaped the hospital? He said, yeah, I checked myself out. He said, I was there all last week. And he said, then they were going to keep me over the weekend. But he said, nothing happens in hospitals over the weekend. Can I get an amen there? All right. Nothing. He was right. And he said, I told the doctor, I am not staying in the hospital on Saturday and Sunday to stare out the window. You can't do anything till Monday. I checked myself out of the hospital. They were out shopping. I said, well, tell me what's going on. And he said, well, I don't know if you heard, but several years ago I dealt with lung cancer. But he said, the Lord helped me and healed me, and that's gone into remission, and I was doing great. But he said, I started having some headaches, and he said, that has now gone from my lungs and at some points gone up into my brain. And he's sitting there talking to me, and there's not, you know what? I had no way of knowing that this guy that I stopped in the aisle and sat there and kidded with and laughed with and swapped a few stories, you know, I had no idea that he was going back into the hospital tomorrow, and they're going to do a biopsy, and then he's probably looking at radiation. You understand, folks, that you pass people every single day, and I pass people every single day, and there's no outward evidence of the internal turmoil of their life. Brother Hiles, when I was up at Hiles Anderson College, used to have a daily radio program. It was called the Pastor Study. And you know what? It would go on, I think it was 15 minutes long, and he would go on there. It was a live radio program. He'd get on there, and he would teach something from the Bible and play a few songs, and then he would read over some prayer requests and have prayer for some of the people that had called in. But as he signed off every single day, he would always say the same thing, folks. He'd say, be good to everybody, because everybody's having a tough time. And goodbye from the Pastor Study. And you know what? Can I say this? Why don't we just learn to be good to everybody? Because everybody's having a tough time. And goodbye from the Pastor's Study, amen. Be tender to those around you. Most people carry a burden that nobody else sees. Most people are dealing with heartaches that others around them are oblivious to. By the way, don't walk around mad at the world because they're not hurting the same way you're hurting. You know, watch this. Come on now. You know, I told somebody one time they were having a tough day, and they were mourning an anniversary of a death of a loved one. And they told me, they said, I had to learn to be so careful because that was a tough day for me, it's almost like I expected the entire world to shut down and mourn with me. And you know what? We're very selfish and self-centered sometimes. Our hurt ought to be everybody's hurt. Well, at the same time, though, let me just say this, I promise you, you know, they were sharing that with me, but I could sense a frustration that people weren't remembering. And I said, folks, I said that to that person going through that. I said, do you realize that if I created a calendar at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and I had every family turn in every single day of their life where something bad has happened, and we put it all on the calendar. Some of you want this, by the way. You thinking right now, you're thinking it's a good idea. It's not a good idea. It's a selfish idea. Because it's almost like, you know, now we, by the way, did that person feel the same way the day before when it was somebody else's? Did they remember? No. And the honest truth is, a lot of our grief is private grief. A lot of our, and by the way, that's rightfully so. I think it's pretty selfish if you think the entire world ought to shut down every time you're having a bad day. Because you know what? I've got a Bible that says rejoice evermore. If we are a mourning people, nonstop mourning people, what kind of example is that to the lost world? But having said all that, do you do understand that there's hardly a week goes by at Blessed Hope Baptist Church where somebody's not dealing with the struggle of some memory or some heartache or the passing of somebody? You know, this would teach us a lot if we just learned to have a little more patience with people. You understand what I'm saying here? Okay, well, so-and-so, I said something to them at the back of the foyer, and they were kind of short with me, and I don't know what their problem is. And so we want to just mark them off as a bad person. First of all, let me ask you, you never had a bad day? Okay, you know what? You don't realize, you have no clue what's going on in their life. You have no clue what they've dealt with in the last 7 days. The very fact that they're here in church might be a miraculous thing. It took all of their energy just to walk in the door. Come on, we've had that. Everybody's had that sometime. And so if everybody's not always on their game, their A game, why don't we just show a little compassion? Why don't we show a little mercy? Because while all this is going on, you can look at that oyster and there's no outward evidence of this internal problem, and yet it's life-threatening if it's not reacted to properly. So I've said all that to get to the encouraging part. An irritant has invaded the life of this oyster. This irritant cannot be dislodged, dissolved, or expelled. This irritant, if it's left unattended, could cause irreversible damage, even death. While all this is going on, there's no outward evidence of an internal problem. But let me say this. This oyster, because it has an amazing creator, this oyster has the ability to survive that irritant, to survive that testing. The creator of this oyster is none other than Jehovah God. He's the Almighty God, the all-knowing one. And all of his creation is miraculously and meticulously designed. The oyster's creator has placed within his creation the ability to survive this injurious and inward intruder. Placed within the oyster by its creator is a substance called nacre. It's N-A-C-R-E, nacre. This substance is the same substance that the oyster produces to create and grow its hard outward shell. Now, because of this God-given ability to produce nacre, this oyster can begin to coat this irritant with layer after layer of this protective substance. The nacre hardens over the irritant one layer at a time. Then another layer comes over and it hardens over that irritant. It begins to smooth out its jagged and damaging and potentially injurious surface. Layer after layer of nacre rescues the life of this oyster. That which could have caused injury is now reduced to a small discomfort. Watch this. That which could have caused infection is now insulated and harmless. That which could have caused death has now been neutralized. Say, preacher, I wish we had something called nacre that was available to us, that we could help us with these type of situations. Go, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Now, folks, I don't know what you're facing today, but I'm going to tell you this. You can make it. You can make it through today. You can make it through another day. You can make it through another week. You don't have to let that thing destroy you. Preacher, you don't know what's going on in my life. You're right, and you don't know what's going on in my life either. But I'm telling you this. There's something called the grace of God, the grace of God. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. If you'll notice, I referred to this these verses earlier, but notice if you will, verse number 7, 2 Corinthians 7, chapter 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my nacre, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Did you see that? He said, listen to me, I take pleasure. That doesn't sound like the average American Christian. We don't like glorying, we like complaining. We don't like to get on the victory side. We'd rather spend our life being a victim. Well, what I'm saying is this, the same creator that took care of that little oyster and made sure that he had something available for that oyster to survive that time of testing, that irritant that had the potential to destroy it, that same God has something called grace. Something called grace. And that grace can get you through a day. And that grace can coat that irritant. You say, preacher, I want it to go away. Some things are not going to go away. If everything was taken from us, then we'd never know anything about the grace of Almighty God. God's more interested in us learning about his grace than he is solving every little problem that comes into our lives. He's more interested in growing us up and maturing us in the Lord than he is protecting us from everything that comes our way. I want to take you over to Hebrews chapter number 4. Preacher, I've looked within myself. And I don't see this knackery. I don't see where I have the ability to produce it. Please tell me, preacher, where can I go to get this knackery? Where can I go to get this grace? Hebrews chapter number 4. If you look at verse number 14, Hebrews 4, verse number 14. Oh, I like this. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy, that's some knackery, and find grace, that's some more knackery, to help in time of need. Folks, listen to me. There's a place to go to get what you need, to get you through another day. But preacher, I've been praying over this, and I can't get an answer to it, and it's not going away, and I feel like it's beginning to hurt me on the inside and cause me damage on the inside. God did not send that into your life to hurt you. God sent that into your life to get you to him, to get you to learn how to access the grace that he has for you. Now, folks, listen to me. With everything that we all have to face in life, let me say, first of all, that you need to get to that throne of grace and get saving grace. Amen. Saving grace. If you don't get saving grace, then you won't access later on daily grace. The first grace that you can partake of a human being is saving grace. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. I can tell you this, it's for you. I love Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace Are you saved through faith? That not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. If you want to have access to the grace of God to help you through the trials and tribulations of life, first of all, you need to partake of that saving grace. Do you know that you know that you know that you're born again? Do you know for sure that you're saved? Because the first grace that you need to come into your life is saving grace. And you can be saved today. But you know what? After we are saved, there's that throne of grace. I like to call it the place of grace. Where do you go, preacher, when it seems like the thing that's inside of you that you can't get rid of and there's no answer for? Well, where do you go? I go to that throne of grace because I can kneel there. There's a place of grace. There's a person of grace. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. I'm so glad that there's a member of the triune God that was born and became flesh and dwelt among us, and he walked where we walked, and he experienced what we experienced. And the Bible says this, that he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And I can go to Jesus and find somebody who can look down and say, I understand. I know what you're going through. I know what you're facing. And by the way, let me just pour a little grace onto that. Let me just pour another layer of grace onto that. But preacher, I'd rather that God just take it. Yes, I've got my list of those things too. I'd rather God just fix everything, but he's not always going to fix everything. Just like he told the Apostle Paul, I'm not taking that thorn. I'm just going to give you the grace you need to deal with that thorn. You have to understand, folks, that God doesn't fix everything, because we wouldn't be much of a Christian if he fixed everything. You know what? If he fixed everything today, why would I go tomorrow to the throne of grace? If he took every problem, come on now, well, I'd go. Yeah, you might for a day or two to thank him, and then you'd become like every other human being. Why do you find yourself every day at the throne of grace? Because I need it every day. Why do you find yourself in front of the person of grace? Because I need his mercy every day. And I need to talk to somebody that understands. And I need to talk to somebody that was tempted and tested like as we are. I need to talk to somebody who was touched with the feelings of my infirmities. I need somebody to understand. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not only a place of grace and a person of grace you'll find there, but there is provision in grace. Grace to help in time of need. Grace to help in time of need. Grace to help in time of need. Let me tell you this thing about grace, okay, preacher? I don't know if I can get through this week. Don't worry about this week. Man, you've got lofty goals. You're talking about a week? You're talking about getting through a week? If I thought like that, I'd go crazy. Let me tell you something. When you go to get that grace at the throne of grace, let me tell you how much grace God will give you. He'll give you grace for that day. He'll give you grace sometimes for that hour. Sometimes he'll give you grace just for that moment, that minute. You know what, God, you can't. I just want to go once a month and get my monthly supply of grace. Matter of fact, I don't even want to have to go there. I want to get on eBay and order it and have it delivered to my door. Because that's who we are and that's the way we do it. I've got Apple Pay on my phone, and I want to get the grace. That's not how it works. That is not how it works. We've got an entire generation that wants an instant everything. You know, watch this. They want the grace of God without spending time with God. They want the mercy of God without ever going into the presence of God. Matter of fact, I could point you to people that are right now out of church angry at God, because God wouldn't give them grace when they wouldn't go and get it. Well, come on now, folks. We don't get to make the rules. He does. That's why we call him God. Okay? I mean, if you're sitting in your recliner and you die of thirst because you wouldn't get up and walk into the kitchen and turn on the sink, and then you're bitter at the sink, then I've got the address of several psychologists, and you need to go make an appointment with one. Stop treating God. Let me say, stop treating God like that. preacher, I just can't make it. We had to quit church. You don't have to quit anything. I just couldn't make it. Yes, you could have. My Bible says I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Our problem isn't that the grace isn't available. It's that we don't want to go to where it's at. Okay, there's a place of grace and there's a person of grace and there's provision waiting there for us, and he can give us enough grace to get us through today, to get us through today. I said to get us through today. I sat there in the aisle there at Walmart talking to Carlos, and I said, he said, you know what? He said, I'm talking about tomorrow and I don't want to talk about it. Let's talk about today. He said, I'm not going to waste the day I'm out of the hospital. I'm not going to waste the day that I'm getting to bump into people like you and talking about what might or might not happen tomorrow. He said, I did want you to pray, but he said, let's talk about something. He said, you know what? He looked at me. He said, preacher, you know how many tomorrows or today's I've wasted in my life worrying about tomorrow? He said, you know how many today's in my life I've wasted regretting something that happened 10 years ago that I can't go back and do a thing about? And he said, big smile on his, Carlos Watson smile. Give me this big smile. And he leans over and shakes my hand and he said, so I'm just going to enjoy the grace of God today. Grace of God today. Hey, why don't you do that? Why don't you do that? Just get the grace you need and get through today. Well, what do I do then? You get up tomorrow morning, you go to the throne of grace, and you get the grace you need. And by the way, watch this. Every time you go, another layer comes on. Every time you go, it gets a little easier. I'm telling you, it does. Every time you go, something within you is being created. Okay, we're getting to the message now, all right? All right, it's a short one, don't panic. But we're getting to it. Say, why is God doing this? I wish I understood it. I think you're going to understand it. All right, number six. That which could have caused death now instead increases the value of the oyster. Let me say it again. That which could have caused death. Because that oyster reacted the way the Creator designed him to react. It, instead of killing him, it makes him more valuable. It allows the oyster to leave something after it dies to mankind. Listen, I don't know where all the oysters are that produced all these things, but I'm going to tell you something. They left something that somebody enjoys every single day of their life. Hey, what about it? What are you going to leave behind? All you're going to leave behind is a testimony of being bitter and mad at God and quit church and mad at the preacher and mad at the Bible, and God wouldn't do it the way you wanted him to do it. Come on now. Every time you go, another layer covers it. Every time you go, another layer covers it. And then it hardens. And then another layer, and it hardens. And you know what? It protects that and smooths it out. And yeah, folks, it's always going to be there. And it's always going to be an irritant. It's not like you're never going to struggle with it. But every time you go to the grace of God, another layer comes over. Isn't that good? It allows the oyster to leave something to mankind. It allows the oyster to leave a gift of great wealth. It allows the oyster to leave in this world a thing of rare beauty, because the oyster properly used what the Creator had provided for him. The oyster, in the act of surviving, unknowingly has created within itself something of incredible worth. Fine quality natural pearls are very rare jewels. Their values are determined similarly to those of other precious gems according to size and shape and color and quantity of service, orient, luster. Single natural pearls are often sold as collector's items or set as centerpieces in unique jewelry. Very few matched strands of natural pearls exist, but those that do often sell for hundreds of thousands of dollars. Why? Because an oyster reacted the way the Creator wanted him to react to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, for the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death works worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, that little speck, come on, that little speck, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Say, preacher, I don't understand what God's doing. He's making you valuable. He's creating within you a pearl. He's giving you a chance to have something beautiful that will reflect the magnificence of your Creator. You know what? I like that. The Bible says this, for we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Things which are not seen are eternal. He's doing an eternal work in you. Let me give you this last thought. We'll be done. Number 7. No one, so preacher, all this is going on inside of that. Yep. No one will ever see this object of incredible worth unless the oyster is opened. Now think about that. No one will ever see this object of incredible worth unless the oyster is opened. The pearl is hidden beneath the hard outward shell. Its beauty is shrouded in darkness, undiscovered and unappreciated. All the happiness and wonder it could create in the human race is trapped inside, clamped shut within its private world. There's great beauty, but it's undiscovered. There's great value, but it's unobtained. There's a great story, but it's untold. In order for the miracle that happened within to bring glory to its creator, the oyster must at some point be open and open itself and share it with the world. And folks, listen to me. You know, one of the great responsibilities and chances we have to bring glory and honor to God is not to spend our lives walking around complaining about the circumstances of life and being bitter about the circumstances of life and holding a grudge against our Creator, but properly going each and every day to the throne of grace until that thing that was a negative turns into a beautiful positive into our lives. The Bible says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so. Preacher, I'm telling you what, while you were talking about this, I'm thinking about some things that came into my life. And you know what? I did respond properly, and I went to God, and his grace was sufficient. And it didn't get fixed one time. I went over, and I went over, and I went over, and I went over again. And you know what? God did get me on the victory side. I'm not saying that everything's fixed. I'm not saying everything's as I wish it was. But you know what? God did something inside of me. Share it with somebody. Share it with somebody. Speak about it in the workplace. Speak it about it in your home. Speak it to your children. Say it out loud. Don't keep it clamped up. Amen. The psalmist said this, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Sounds like to me he's letting the redeemed of the Lord saying so here. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, established my going. Watch this. He had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust the Lord, but they won't if it's clamped up like this. Did you access that saving grace in your life? Let me ask you something. Did you get saved? Who did you share it with this week? You have the most valuable thing you could possibly have inside of you, and you're like this. This is how you spend your life. I mean, you went an entire week and never told somebody about Jesus. You went an entire week and never one time shared your testimony with anybody. Why don't you open it up and let people see what God did inside of you? I love 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, and to the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are at Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, watch this, who comforteth us in all our afflictions, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Say, preacher, there's a lot of comfort going on in that verse. Amen. Who comforteth us in all of our tribulation. Why did he do that? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So watch this. You know what? You got that irritant and it comes into your life and you feel like it's going to destroy you. But you get to the throne of grace. And you know what? A little of that nacreek is given to you, that grace and mercy. But it's not enough. And you go back and it's not enough. And you go back and you keep going back. And you know, the more you're there, the better it gets. And it doesn't mean you don't have hard days, but you know where to go. And finally, God creates this beautiful thing inside of you. And then you watch somebody else begin to go down that same road and face that same thing, and you're going to stay like this? Okay? I mean, that thing could kill them. It could destroy them. I mean, not everybody survives it. No, but not everybody even knows what to do with it. Do you understand that one of the reasons that God has us go through the different things he has in life, and by the way, everybody here is uniquely equipped by the events of your life to minister to other people in a very unique way. You may have some things that you've faced in your life that I haven't faced. And you know what? I have a hard time helping somebody that's going through that. Preacher, I don't understand why I had the childhood I did. And I don't understand why things happened to me in my teenage years the way they did. And I don't understand why God didn't find me earlier and I got saved earlier. And maybe it's because God needed somebody to help these kids when they walk off the bus that's facing what you used to face. Go find them. Go find them. Go find them. And all they're doing is focusing on this little irritant, and they think it's going to destroy them, and you open it up and show them a pearl. You say, wow, that's beautiful. How did you get that? Well, it used to be that. Oh, no, no, that don't look anything like that. That's what it used to be. There's no way. How do you turn that into that? Let me take you to a place. And let me introduce you to a person. And let me teach you how to get a little nacre. Let me tell you how to get a little daily provision. Let me tell you how to get another coding. And you know what? It's going to start so small, and it's not going to seem like it's working, but you just got to go back, and you got to go back, and you got to go back. See, watch this. Everybody wants the pearls, but nobody wants the trial. Everybody says, ooh, wow, ladies elbowing their husbands. You haven't bought me any pearls. You better get down to Walmart before Pastor Ross buys them all out. I mean, everybody wants this, but nobody wants what's created. I gotta give you this, and we're a few minutes over, but just stay with me. I'll take 2 minutes. Watch this. I was reading about heaven, that new Jerusalem coming down. Whew. I was just reading about that as I did my little study on pearls. You know how many gates there are going into that holy city? How many gates are there? 12 gates. And every single one of them's made out of what? All right, let's just take a step back and think about that a minute. What did we say our nacre was? It's the grace of Almighty God. If you're going to walk through any of those gates, you're going to walk through nacre to get there. Come on now. I mean, it's not like that four of them made out of pearls. All of them are made out of pearls. All of them represents a problem that came into this world. That problem's called sin. Came in the Garden of Eden. But guess what God did? He just poured so much grace on that sin problem through all of the thousands of years, not through one lifetime, all the thousands of years, that he's got gate-sized pearls up there that now he can say, I'll just make these the gates that have to open where everybody that comes in, you're going to come by grace or you're not going to come at all. How about that? How about that? You think that's impressive? That's nothing. Come on now. How about that? Are you saved? Have you ever received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Preacher, I'm not saved. That's why you're struggling with the things of life. I'm just telling you, you're trying to do something God never intended you to do. You're trying to deal with the problems and issues of life without God as your Savior. And nobody can do that long term. You'll never be successful. You got to lay that pride aside. Well, I'll just pull myself up by bootstraps. I'll just have the willpower. Listen, I'm going to tell you, this world will beat you down. You need God. You need to be saved. You need that saving grace. And then after you're saved, as you face the problems of life, oh, you've been given the answer this morning. Go up there and turn that irritant into a pearl. Take that situation that could potentially destroy you spiritually. Instead, allow it to make you even more valuable to the kingdom of God. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for creating in your wisdom way back 6,000 years ago something called an oyster. And Lord, thank you for inside of that oyster giving it something that we have named nacre. And Lord, I want to thank you also for in that creation allowing from time to time an irritant to come and invade the inside of that oyster so that we can learn as Christians about the grace of Almighty God. I pray if there's someone here this morning, Lord, that's never been saved, that today would be the day they receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. I pray, Lord, if there's a Christian that's going through a tough time, and there's something that's coming to their life, and honestly, it is threatening their spiritual future, their spiritual existence. I pray, Lord, that they'd get to the throne of grace. They'd kneel before a Savior. They'd talk to that high priest that understands the feelings of our infirmities, was touched by them. I pray, Lord, they'd spend some time talking to the precious Son of God, our high priest, who was in all ways tempted and tested as we are, yet without sin. Lord, thank you for the mercy that's available at the throne of grace. Thank you for the grace that's available there in your presence. Lord, I pray for people. Boy, I look around our church and just it never stopped. It never stopped. It never stops. Seems like one family goes through crisis, and about the time we get them back where they need to be, here's the phone call for the next thing. And Lord, it's life. It's life. But Lord, we need it. We may not want it, but we need it. Because these are the things that keep us at the throne of grace. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd touch us and you'd change us and you'd help somebody that's struggling. Something's come into their life, and if they don't get to you, Lord, it's going to destroy them. I pray, God, they'd get to you. They'd get to you. Pray these things in Jesus' name.